name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. It's been quite a week. Tuesday night was wonderful. I want to thank each and every one of you who participated, prepared, organized, cleaned, cooked, bathed, everything. It was a wonderful night that I will remember and treasure for the rest of my life. It was great to have my family here that was able to attend. It's always good when you get together with family that you don't see that often. You always have memories that you go over. You know, there's the stories you have to go through, you know, as a family and retell. And one of my favorite family stories that comes up this time of year revolves around my nephew, Mikey. And he was the first grandson born in my family. I'm the youngest. My sister has a son. She has two. Mikey's the oldest. And he was the first grandchild in the family, so you kind of know the hoopla that goes with that. And my mom, who is a wonderful woman, but extremely practical, because everyone would buy him presents. He's the first and only grandchild for a while. Everyone would buy him presents. She would only buy him clothes. Because he, for Christmas, she would buy him clothes for Christmas. She said he needs it. He needs coats. You know, kids grow. They need these things. So every Christmas morning, we would get together as a family, and it was always funny to see Mikey open the presents for my mom, because he would, you know, do his best. He would try so hard, you know, to act excited, but, you know, he'd open it up and he'd say, thanks, Nan, for the coats, and then, you know, go on to the next. I mean, you know, kids want toys on Christmas morning, right? That's what they're expecting. Nobody wants a coat. That's just what it is. They need a coat, but nobody wants a coat on Christmas morning. So we always would get a kick out of that, you know, for years. Thanks, Nana, for the pants. And we just kind of go, you know. But, you know, I was thinking about that in today's gospel. Christmas time, we have expectations about gifts. We see it a lot with children, you know. And when those expectations are met, there's disappointment. Right? You know, my nephew was expecting toys. When he opened it up and saw pants, he was, jeez. You know, he was expecting toys. You know, expectations, we all have them. You know, maybe as we grow older, we don't have that same feeling on Christmas morning. Maybe we do. But we all have them when it comes to everything in life. You know, food. We have expectations for meals we get. We have expectations for movies we see. People in our lives, how they behave, we have expectations at our jobs, and we also have expectations of God. And our expectations of God affect how we perceive God. And those types of expectations, the kind we have of God, they play a central role in today's gospel story. Now, before we look at today's reading, just let me jog your memory for a second to part one of the story, which was last week's gospel, a whole 7 days ago. John is in the wilderness. Remember last week's gospel? John is in the wilderness preaching a message of repentance. And he's saying, now is the time to repent. Today, because the Messiah is coming any second now. And with the Messiah, that means God's judgment is imminent. John said, even now the axe is at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You know, John warned all that came to him. The Messiah is coming. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear the threshing floor. He will gather wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Finally, those who follow God are going to get justice and see the wicked punished. That's what the Messiah will do. It's what he's coming to do. Well, let's fast forward to today. Some time has passed in our gospel story. John is sitting in prison. He was put there by a corrupt King Herod, who, in all reality, was just a puppet of the corrupt Roman government. And as he sits in his cell and listens to the visitors who must tell stories of Jesus' ministry and what Jesus is doing, the Messiah's ministry, John doesn't hear one story about the bad guys getting it. You know, you can't help but wonder with him as he sits in that cell if there was something mixed up in the communication. You know, this is the Messiah. God revealed that to John when he baptized Jesus. He heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. But where is the cleansing of the threshing floor? Where is that unquenchable fire that comes with the Messiah? Where's the justice? John, and even more so his disciples, were a bit confused. So, John sends his disciples to go ask Jesus for clarification. Are you the one? Did we misunderstand? You know, something get mixed up in the communication here. Now, it is important to note when Jesus answers them, not only what Jesus says, but where he directs their attention. Go and tell John what you hear and see, he responds. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. Jesus is telling them, just because the wicked are not being immediately judged, just because the bad guys are not getting what they deserve right this second, right this very moment, that does not mean that God is not present, working in the world. You know, look at the things happening around, is what Jesus is saying. Look at what's happening around me and see God's hand working. If you want to see what God is doing, if you ever are looking for signs of his presence, don't ever look to the wicked. Don't look to the unjust. You know, look around Jesus. And that's good for us to hear too. You know, because the ministry of Jesus is pretty remarkable. You know, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. It seems obvious that God is with him, that God is working. But not if you're expecting something else from him. Not if your expectations of God are different. You know, John and his disciples had an idea of how the Messiah would act and what he would do. And Jesus is letting them know that the Messiah is here. And look at what God is actually doing, rather than waiting for him to act how we think he should. Rather than wondering why God has failed to meet their expectations, Jesus is asking John's disciples to let go of what they think he should be doing and look around and see what he is actually doing in their midst. You can't blame John's disciples too much. That is one of the hardest things for any of us to do. To let go of what we think God should be doing and focus on what he really is doing. To let go of our expectations of how God should act in this world. You know, John and his disciples were right. You know, Jesus, the Messiah, is the one who will judge the living and the dead. We say this every week in the Creed. But that was not the purpose of his first coming. Jesus came to save the world, to spread God's love and mercy, and to reconcile God and man through his death and resurrection. Many people at that time missed that. People still miss it today because they can't get past their expectation of what Jesus should have done, what Jesus should have been doing, what it looks like when God works in the world. And that's the problem with having expectations of God. It's not that God can't meet our expectations for him. It's that so often God acts in ways that we cannot even imagine, and therefore we don't expect it. John's disciples were thinking judgment. Jesus was acting on a mission of love, mercy, and reconciliation. So what can we learn today, this congregation, us 2,000 years later, from this gospel story in dealing with our expectations of God? I think the first thing for us is to be attentive to God and see what He is actually doing in our midst, rather than to focus on what God is not doing that we think He should be. And that's what Jesus told John's disciples. Look and see. Go and tell John. Look at what's happening. You know, are we missing what God is doing in our lives, in our parish, in our families, in our community, because we expect Him to be doing something else? Are we missing what He's doing in our lives? I think it's important for us this Advent season and as we go into Christmas to take time as individuals to give thanks for what we see God doing in our lives, and especially as a family. And for those of you with young children, this is really important to take time as a family to give thanks to God for what He is doing in the midst of your lives, what He has blessed you with. You know, we think about health. Think about a home, a loving home. Think about the people we have in our lives, the friends and support we have, might have from families. There's a lot of things God has blessed us with in the midst of our lives. You know, it sometimes might look like pants or a coat under the Christmas tree, but they're really important things that we might just get used to or miss or overlook because we might be expecting something else. But we have another part, too. As the church, we are Christ's presence in the world. We are the ones being approached with the question Jesus was approached with. That's us. We are the people that those looking for God in the world, those wondering about Jesus, those seeking signs of God's presence in the world, come to. Whether they verbalize it like that or not, we are the ones they come to. And that's part of our call, to answer that question. Is Jesus the one? Should we look for another? You know, there are a great number of people today searching. Some know, some don't. Some know what they're searching for, some don't. Some are wondering, where is God in all this? Like John's disciples are looking at the wicked, the unjust. Where is God? Where can I see Him act? I see evil people doing this. I see bad people doing this. Where is God? And we are the only ones who can answer that question. We are the only ones who can point to the blessings and the graces we see in our lives, in our families, in our parish, and point and say, look, here is where God is working. Here is where God is present. A lot of people today, just like then, are looking for God's presence in the wrong places. Just like John's disciples, like I said, they're looking at the bad stuff and wondering, where are you, God? If we don't point them to where God is present here in this community, in our lives, in our hearts, who will? You know, clothes never have been a popular present for kids at Christmas time. They never have. When I was a kid, I'm sure I was guilty of it. But, you know, you notice it when you don't have it. On a day like today, you would notice if you didn't have a coat. Maybe you wouldn't want to get a present, but you would notice it when you don't have it. There's a lot of blessings that we have in our lives that a lot of other people don't have. A lot of the people are looking, where can I find joy? Where can I find peace? Where can I find contentment? I mean, we might just think, you know, that's part of our normal life because of our relationship with God. But there's a lot of people looking for those things that don't have them. So may this Advent, as we prepare for the Savior who came in a way that few people could have possibly expected, May we do more than just accumulate things we don't already have, but may we take the time to see God's hand, God's blessings in our lives, and point there for others to see. This is where God is working in the world. This is where God is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.